Well, Ezekiel 24, the death of Ezekiel's wife. What on earth is going on here? The word of Yahweh came to me, saying, this is 15 of chapter 24, Son of man, behold, I will take away from you the desire of your eyes with a stroke, yet you shall neither mourn nor weep, nor shall your tears run down. Sigh, but not aloud. In other words, restrain your emotions, hide your true feelings about the death of your wife. And she's called the desire of your eyes. So he really did love her and really found her very attractive. And the point of this is that God is saying in 21, I will take away the temple, I will profane my sanctuary, the pride of your power, the desire of your eyes, that which your soul pities. So the idea is that Ezekiel's loss of his wife represented the loss of the temple, but Ezekiel was not to mourn her. Now, we notice that throughout Ezekiel, you have visions of the apostasy that was going on in the temple, and yet Jeremiah 7 is very clear that they said, oh, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. They loved their temple. The people loved the temple. They loved the external things of their religion. They were not atheists, although they worship other gods, they were very into the religious side of their relationship with Yahweh. But they were not spiritual. Their hearts are with their idols, and therefore God took away this temple that they so loved. That temple was to them the absolute sort of quintessence, really, of their religion. And you see that difference between religion and spirituality in people's lives. Today, somebody may be very passionate about the history of their particular denomination. They may be very passionate about having reunions for people who were in the church or this church or that church 40 years ago and all this kind of thing. Very passionate about things like statement of faith or the kind of hymn book that's used or the color the church is painted or this kind of thing. Very into the external symbolism, but clearly enough, even on their own admission, not particularly into spirituality. And I think this was exactly the problem with the Jews. They loved the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh. It was, as God says here, the pride of your power, the desire of your eyes, that which your soul pities. And God says, and so I shall destroy it. I saw that, I think, in the church of my youth. It was a very big church. That was the whole nature of the institution was well loved by those that were in it. And it became religion rather than spirituality. And so bit by bit, God took away their hall from them. He took away all sorts of things from them, and eventually the whole external side of the religion collapsed. I think to make people spiritual, to make them turn to Jesus, to spiritual mindedness, rather than being focused on the externality of the religion. And this was the same as what happened here. It was like the loss of the church hall. It was like the loss of the temple. Okay, so there's no church hall, a big deal, so what? Your relationship with God and Jesus should not suffer because of that. But if you're religious rather than spiritual, well, that's the end of the planet. If you lose your church hall, I mean, that's major, you know. My grandfather built that, and my dad, was involved in the reconstruction of it that happened 40 years ago, and me and my kids painted the, Sunday school room, or whatever it might be. And it's like tragic. And so I think, however, that the point of the whole thing with the death of Ezekiel's wife is not so much that God slew her. All right, he says, I will take away from you the desire of your eyes with a stroke. But she may have been terminally ill, and she died maybe literally from a literal stroke, which was, if you like, from God. But the point of the whole thing is, you shall not mourn nor weep. It's possible that he's hinting that Ezekiel was the high priest because only the high priest was not allowed to mourn or weep for his wife. But I don't think that's the point either. The point is that, in my opinion, that Ezekiel was representative of God. And God was also pained when the temple was destroyed. I mean, he says, verse 21, I will profane my sanctuary. And in chapter 9 of Ezekiel, we see a vision of God saying that I will profane the sanctuary. I'm going to fill it with profanity. I'm going to destroy it and sending angels to measure it all up for destruction. And yet, I think the idea is that as Ezekiel had to restrain his emotions, he had to control his feelings and not show the grief externally. This was what was going on with God. Because, of course, as is said here, the house of Israel came to Ezekiel and said, what are you doing? You love your wife and you've lost her. Why aren't you weeping? Why are you restraining your emotions? It's obvious to us that you're hiding your true feelings. It's obvious that you're terribly cut up about it because you loved her so deeply. Why are you not expressing this? And the end of the whole point is really, the end of the whole thing is really in 26 and 27, where they are told that the purpose of this is so that you shall know that I am Yahweh. In other words, that you will come to understand me. That was the whole purpose of this thing. So I think the emphasis, the stress, is upon him not openly mourning and them coming to him saying, well, it's obvious you're terribly cut up about it because you really loved her. Why are you not expressing this? And again, no comment. Well, I'm not. Why are you mourning within yourself and not revealing yourself, not revealing your emotions about the loss you've had? Well, he was God's representative, and this was the point. And this is an insight, I think, into the apparent silence of God. You know, people say, well, where's God when this, that, or the other happens? As if God is busy someplace else and God is not sort of paying attention to human suffering. He is. Even when that suffering, as in this case in the loss of the temple, is brought by him, he is paying attention, but he is not revealing himself. And he does this at times to elicit our response and to help us to see and to know him. That is the end point of all this. It is a test of our faith. And Jesus did this several times in his ministry. For example, when he was walking to the disciples or near the disciples on the lake when they're apparently about to drown in a storm, and he makes as if he was going to walk past them. Well, was he not interested? Of course he was interested, but he wanted them to cry out to him. And time and again, he does this. Was he really asleep on a pillow in the other storm when again they nearly drown? And they say, Master, Master, do you not care that we're perishing? Of course he cared. Was he really asleep? Is it possible to be asleep in apparently an open boat that's filling with water? Is it really possible? Was he really asleep? I doubt it myself. But the apparent silence of God is not because he doesn't care and not because he doesn't feel. I think that that is the summary point of this loss of Ezekiel's wife and him not mourning. As I say, I think the emphasis is not so much on her death. I wouldn't go so far as to say that God sort of struck her because he was angry with her or whatever. I mean, she may have been terminally ill anyway. The whole thing is, don't mourn or weep for her, so that everyone who knows that you love your wife will say, why are you hiding your emotion? And again, silence. And then they perceive that he was God's man amongst them. As I say, he may even have been, to some extent, the high priest. And the point was that, yeah, he was God's representative, and it was Ezekiel in chapter 9 who appears amongst the angels who go to destroy Jerusalem in the vision. He's the man with the in the linen clothing of a priest with the writer's inkhorn, as if he's a prophet, on his side, and he goes in with the angels there to destroy the temple in the vision. And you know, he was representative of God to them. And so this thing that was so difficult for him, to not mourn, to just appear as if nothing happened, when everybody knew that he loved her, that she was the desire of his eyes, this, as I say, was a picture of the apparent silence of God. And behind that apparent silence, there is a God whose heart is bursting, whose heart bleeds. It's all shown in the story of Joseph when his brothers are there and he's acting tough to them and acting like he's got no care for them at all. When his heart is bursting and he has to turn away from them lest they see him weeping. This is, as I say, the apparent silence of God. And yet behind that silence, behind that mask that Joseph pretty much put on to his brothers, there is this passion for us, this passionate feeling for us, even when, as in Judah's case, they were suffering the results of their sins.